The meeting to order at right at 2 o'clock. We've got a big agenda. Okay, so I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Story County Board of Health. The first thing I want to make a statement about is that we have a big agenda for this meeting. We're going to save the end of the meeting to discuss the Crestview issue that we mentioned that we're going to at our last meeting. So because that may take some time, I would appreciate anyone who had any reports to tell us basically what we need to know, what we need to do. Try to make it as brief as possible. I would truly appreciate it. Okay? So, first of all, I do know that Kristen is not going to be here today, so we have all our members present. So the first thing I want to do is a consent agenda, and the consent agenda are things that don't need to be voted upon, they're all approved in one motion that improves the approval of the agenda. The consideration of personal actions, which are basically pay adjustments, and then the violence in the workplace policy, that we've all had a chance to look at all those documents. So I'd like to, first of all, is there any discussion about those? Okay. I'd like to ask for an approval for the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. So the consent agenda has been approved. Okay, now this is the public forum. This is the time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Anything else? Okay, very good. All right, so agency and departmental reports. Youth and Shelter Services, Denise Stanton.
Good afternoon, Denise.
Good afternoon. Just a couple things.
Could you introduce yourself for the minutes, please?
I'm sorry, Denise Denton, Youth and Shelter Services. So a couple things. We have already sent you documents concerning programming for March and April, just about everything that we did in prevention specifically, so you have those already. Another couple documents that you already have concern information concerning the opioid epidemic. I am a member of the heroin task force that's been meeting since January, and probably as of tomorrow that group will come up with a date. They're hoping to do a town hall meeting of some sort in the fall with Steve Lucan, who's the drug czar, and Peter Komodowski, who is the director of the Partnership for Drug Free Iowa. Tomorrow morning we have a doctor from Marshalltown who's been working with patients who are involved with opioid addictions over there, and we're going to see some of what they've been doing. So we know that it's seeing a lot more heroin over in eastern Iowa, and it's probably somewhat heading in this direction. So we're trying to learn as much as we can about some of the efforts that they're doing over there. But that's an ongoing concern. And one of the handouts that I just gave you gives you a rundown of some of the fatalities that we're seeing in the trends. And that comes from the National Institute of Drug Abuse. So I thought you'd like to see that. But there'll be more information about that as we go along. The other document that I gave you is, as I said, hot off the presses. That's the Iowa Youth Survey data that was just released last week. And what you have in front of you gives you a rundown of what youth in Story County are self-reporting over the last four times. So the Iowa Youth Survey is done every other year. And it is voluntary, so schools can do it or schools don't have to do it. So this is data for Story County, excluding Ballard and Gilbert's in 2016, and it does not include Gilbert's stats for almost all of that time. So Gilbert finds itself not wanting to do it, I guess. But anyway, it gives you an idea, and usually there's some chatter about, well, what if kids are not telling the truth? But if they aren't, they're doing it fairly consistently because the numbers don't differ much from year to year. But the good news is they have gone down considerably in Story County. For instance, if you look across the top and you see marijuana, it lists all the drugs, or several drugs, alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, inhalants and such. And for grade 11 students in 2010, Story Time 11th graders were reporting that they were using marijuana in the last 30 days at 18%. That's gone down to 8. So we're pretty pleased about that. What we're not pleased about is the fact that the perception of harm has also gone down. And one of the indicators of whether kids are going to use in the future is whether they're genuinely concerned about it or not. So in the next survey, we'll have to see if that goes back up again. But most of this looks pretty good, and most of the stats are lower than the state average. So we're pleased with that. We'd like to take all the credit for it, but I think there's probably other factors involved. And there always are. There's a lot of different pieces to that puzzle. So I'm being facetious with that.
Take the credit.
I think there's probably some other players in the game, but we're really pleased with the numbers.
Can I ask two real quick questions? And one is two things that have been talked about with opioid overdosages is one, the aspect of all paramedics being able to give and carry Narcan.
Right.
And that's been approved? Or are they working on that?
I don't know that it's been approved. Okay.
And how about, you know, where they're going with making Narcan over-the-counter? There's been talk of that, too.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
The problem with Narcan that most people are not aware of is that it doesn't last as long as the marijuana, so that some of the opioids that are coming in contact now, particularly with fentanyl or with carfentanil, it may take 4 or 5 or 6 doses of Narcan to counteract the drug. And so that's a concern. And Peter Komodowski and I talked the other day. One of his concerns is when people think that Narcan is available, they'll think that's no problem because they can always save your life, which in fact is not true. At Prevention Policy Board yesterday, we did talk with law enforcement about the fact that they're getting training now about when they go into an area where there's something like fentanyl, the precautions that they have to take, because if you inhale that, that can be pretty wicked stuff.
But they don't have it on them. The Narcan?
No, not necessarily.
That's one of the things that they're talking
about. First responders do, but at this point, police officers, not any students.
Okay. Just curious. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Next on the list is Mid-Iowa Community Action, Brittany Sanchez and Carlini.
B is on her way with Micah's numbers, but I'm the Eye Smile Coordinator.
Could you introduce yourself for a minute, please?
Yes. I'm Carla Bean, and I'm the Eye Smile Coordinator at Micah, and we cover 5 counties. So the big thing that is expanding for us right now is the sealant grant, and that we can go into the schools that are 40% free and reduced lunch, and that currently we serve Meeker, and also Kate Mitchell School in Ames, and now we've been able to add Nevada Middle School. And we've provided in those two schools $7,040 of free dentistry. And children that receive the sealants usually have at least 3 times less decay. So we're really excited that we're able to expand. And then this last year, we also added the second grade, where we weren't able to do sealants, but we did the education, fluoride varnish, and screenings. And then another issue, I don't know if it's later or not, is water fluoridation. And I don't know if everyone is aware that Slater was taking their fluoride out of water. And it was kind of under they started, the fluoride used to be monitored by DNR, and now it's monitored by IDPH. And I found out on a Monday that they were trying to take the fluoride out. And so I contacted Dr. Brown Davis that we work a lot with, and he was totally unaware of it too. And so then he pursued it, and by the end of the week, we found out that it was just a city employee that thought we were so close to the rate of fluoridation that they just quit doing it.
In Ames?
Slater.
Oh, Slater.
Uh-huh. And that's kind of how it's happening. Like, Powashik Water Department took their fluoride out, and all the people that have water didn't even realize that it was happening. So right away, it was really, really lucky that they're already putting the fluoride back in the water in Slater.
Well, that is, that's good to hear, and that is actually part of our discussion about a statement from the Board of Health for our continued support of fluoride, fluorination of the water. So we'll probably be revisiting that.
Okay, yep. Sounds great.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
Hello, my name is Brittany Sanchez. I apologize for walking in late. I know that road closure threw me off a little. With me, I brought some information in regards to our WIC enrollment numbers and then our first five numbers. So far this year, there have been 50 referrals. Referrals for speech, hearing concerns, development, and with that, our first five site coordinator coordinates with the doctor and makes sure that the family is fully known of what doctors they're able to go to and so forth with their child's needs. She wanted me to share that. And then for WIC, I have the NVIDIA participation enrollment numbers. And for the month of April, they were at 47 as far as enrollment. And for participation, the number is 38 for the month of April. 38 participants in total. Go ahead.
Innovata,
correct. Yep. In Story, if you care to know those numbers. Excuse me. Let's see. 1,236 participation in Ames.
That's just Ames.
That's just Ames, and I also have Boone, and that's 156 in the month of April.
Boone City or Boone County?
County. One other thing that I would like to share is our baby basics class. Micah has contracted with Mary Greeley Medical Center in Ames. It's a parent class to educate on just the basics of being either a new parent or it's been a while. With that, we have our registered nurse from maternal health that gives information. Our first five site coordinator is there, WIC, our dietitians. We have iSmile representation as well. And we just consult with the families, make sure their needs are addressed, make sure that if they have any questions or need any referrals that they are also taken care of. So that is once a month as of right now. And we're very excited to be working with Mary Greeley.
Is there a particular age that is targeted towards, like brand newborns, five-year-olds?
Well, since it is for babies, infants, yeah.
Infants and the pregnant moms.
As well.
Yeah, so the moms that are expecting.
The moms that are expecting as well. Yep.
Fantastic. Great.
I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Hey, Surrey County Environmental Health.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Margaret.
Good afternoon.
May you introduce yourself for the minutes?
Margaret.
Get better at reminding people that.
Okay. Margaret Jane, Story County Environmental Health Department. I'm sure we'll make this quick. Or not. Do I need to do something on this end now?
Yeah.
Just warm it up? Okay.
During this pause, I'd like to tell a quick joke.
What do you call six rabbits jumping backwards? A receding hairline. That's all I got.
This is where I called my granddaughter.
No, that's just a pile of it.
Okay. We had connection before, right?
Because it won't work.
I don't know either. I don't think it's
going. Is that what you saw?
Did any of my stuff ever turn on?
Margaret, can you give a verbal report?
I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we go with that? Let's turn the lights on. If you can give a quick verbal report, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. I'm just going to turn this on to remind myself. Okay, for septic systems, we've done 42 inspections and 36 permits received, so about on track, same as last year. I did the pumper inspections for Marshall County and Story County both. There's two in Marshall that do not land apply, two in Story that do. together, there's been about 300,000 gallons of septic land applied in Story County. That's a lot. And it's basically going to three different spots, three small spots in the county. Fortunately, fairly secluded. The income from that inspection program is about $6,000 that came into the county. Next meeting, I will talk more about land application and some of the violations that we have found. For wells, there have been 23 permits issued, which is low because of the geothermal money drying up, 150 water samples, 28 wells plugged, and 4 rehab. This is for 2017. Grants to counties, we did finally get that money from that extra cash from IDPH to the tune of around $7,500. The auditor credited our department put $7,000, but then put $2,500 into the general fund instead of putting it into our department's line item because we were told we didn't need it. And that, you know, the 25% can go toward administrative. So that was just put into the general. I was uncomfortable with that decision. Pools, tattoo, and tanning. Matt has been hitting up the outdoor pools quite a bit. Memorial Day is when all the pools open up. And his biggest frustration really has been dealing with the turnover. So he's constantly have to train people, constantly having to hunt down their reports and that, so it just takes way longer than it should. We might have to, well, and with the outdoor pools, the problem is that, you know, by the time you get back, they're ready to close down again. So that's a problem. But so we're working on it. Maybe the indoor hotel ones will switch to twice a year instead of once a year. The picture that you're not seeing is a really pretty picture of a pool at the Madison Apartments, and that was built. There was an old pool there. That was built without a permit, and then the state has a huge problem with the design of the pool, the safety of the pool, because there's like this little shallow area that goes out and then goes straight down. So there's a beautiful pool with a cabana and all sorts of red, stripey things out there, and nobody can use it. So, and the state is monitoring that. We're trying to make sure that it's not in use. So that's kind of our excitement in the pool department.
Where is it?
That's on Mortensen, west of, you know, on the newer development out that way, Mortensen and Ames, in Ames, yeah. I did meet with Bill Towser and Gene Tinker to discuss Towser Master Matrix. I will table that until next meeting with the Board of Health. Trainings and meetings, that's in your packet. You don't necessarily need to hear about that. Miscellaneous things I've been working on, the Dayton Parkway conceptual review we did the last couple months. I met with Mike Cox and Advantex reps to talk about possibilities of using Advantex instead of a lagoon out at Hickory Grove Lake. Men's feed lot complaint I turned into DNR and the Manat conceptual review. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Mark, anything else, though?
That's all. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
What about the country club? Where are we at on the country club?
Okay. They've spent about around $30,000 on pumping fees, but they are ready to switch over to using on-site now. So they've been having to haul the septic down to Des Moines because the Ames plant is too expensive. And so the on-site is up and running for the country club, and hookup should be happening maybe even today.
Oh, so they redid it? They redid the whole system?
Absolutely, yep.
And those are Advantex systems?
Yes.
No, I mean for the clubhouse?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Any other questions for Margaret?
None.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so now Story County Public Health. Jerry Nolan.
Hi, I'm Terry Olinger from Story County Public Health. And I am going to report on the local public health services grant. Mary Greeley Home Health Services provided skilled nursing visits for 261 county residents from July 2016 through April 30th of 2017. Also, Home Health Services provided health promotion nursing visits to 157 clients. Between the same dates of July 1st, 2016 through April 30th, 2017. Also, Mary Greeley Home Health Services homemaker visits, a total of 194 Story County residents were provided homemaker services. Also, as far as collaborative relationships, that is what local public health services are being used for. So July 2016 through April 2017, Story County Public Health engaged in more than 613 hours of collaborative relationship activities. And also disease outbreak investigations, and I've got this as part of my report too. Public health nurses provided more than 577 hours of service for disease investigation, surveillance, and follow-up of TB and communicable disease referrals in Story County, and in immunization audits as well. As far as disease surveillance in March and April, we had a couple salmonella cases, one E. coli case. Those were all travel-related. We had two hepatitis B cases, two crypto cases, five mumps, and they were all Iowa State University students, and three salmonella cases. We also had this week at Kate Mitchell School, we had a high illness rate, and so what happened was we were in the process of doing stool specimens to figure out what the deal was because kids were out with vomiting and diarrhea. So those results should be in tomorrow. As far as TB control, there are no active cases. So senior health clinics, every year we do a survey to see what we can do differently with our senior health clinics, and currently we are collecting those. We hope to get about 100 surveys, so it just provides us with a way to improve our services. Let's see, new with immunization clinics will be the new meningococcal requirements for 17 and 18. It changes the one-time dose for meningococcal vaccine has to be received on or after the 10th birthday. If the child is over 16, they only need one dose of meningococcal vaccine. Public health also has plans to buy a new vaccine freezer. We were having a little bit of issue with ours going out of range for 30 minutes. It was less than 1 degree, but it did go out, so we're closely monitoring that and looking into buying a new freezer. So also there's an immunization summit the 14th and 15th of June. As far as emergency preparedness goes, there is a coalition partnership workshop. It is tomorrow, but it is at Mary Greeley Medical Center for emergency preparedness, and it is sponsored by Boone and Story County. It's our local emergency preparedness coalition. And we will be also holding a meeting on June 21st at Mary Greeley. It is a volunteer training for point of dispensing clinics. So, and so far we've gotten some new volunteers. Also wanted to tell you this is my last Board of Health meeting. I will be leaving in July.
What are you going to do?
Move to Oklahoma.
Move to Oklahoma?
Yes, Tulsa. So, anyway, it's been a great 15 years of public health.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that didn't end up. Okay. Right. We also, today, we need to talk about the appointment of a local public health services contract project director designation. What's that about? Yes, you're back up.
Can I address that?
Yes, I will. Sorry.
Got a little emotional there.
Yeah.
We would like Patsy Deasy to be appointed instead of Les White.
Who?
Mary Oldinger. Patsy Deasy.
Okay.
Okay. She's been with Homer for 28 years, and she will be here to see the grant through. She is the grant. Actually, she is our bill payer, so she's very well versed in this local public health services project director
grant. So she would be, that is who we would like to designate, if you approve of that.
So you need a motion from us?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any questions at all for Terry?
No.
On that? Okay. Any discussion at all? I would feel that if you think it's the best person for the job, I would personally be in agreement.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
I'll make a motion that we approve
Captain
Thrissey as local public health service contract project director.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Very good. Okay. Thank you very much. Next statement is the discussion and consideration of statement from the Board of Health encouraging continuation of water fluoridation. You've seen that letter. Have you all?
Yep.
And I've seen the letter, and when I looked it over, I thought it looked perfectly fine, and I think it's something that the Board of Health should put its name behind. This might like to entertain Saul. Any discussions about that?
The conversation is had out there on the pushback of vaccinations, but what's the counter argument of water fluoridation?
Against it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was going to be opposed. Did you see that? I mean, I think that's some of the. Well, yeah. What is that?
There's a thought that if children get too much fluoride, I mean, besides the crazy stuff, that it's a communistic plot. The medical issue is if you do get too much fluoride, you can get something called fluorinosis, which is white patches on the teeth, but that's purely cosmetic. And if it's on your baby teeth, you lose those. It's not that big of an issue. So those are the biggest medical issues.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Okay. Any other questions or discussion? Okay. Yes.
In a few public webinars, I received the intermittent testing for fluoride, and some were quite high, and some were average. You know, so it's just important that they bring it up to a certain level and not, X amount all the time, so that they monitor what's our in-law.
Right, right. Certainly the American Academy of Pediatrics has recommended that we question parents whether or not they have well water, and if they're well water, if the children are drinking it, whether they can check for fluoride. And you're right, some of them have a fair amount of fluoride in it, more than what they want, and some have just enough that they don't need any fluoride supplementation. And some are too little. Yeah, they actually, private landowners or well owners have to ask for that. It's not normal.
Therefore, it's not a naturally occurring component of well water.
Right. Yeah, there's a fair amount, and it's real sporadic. It's real sporadic.
But I don't know what flavors is my point.
What?
I don't know what flavors is my point. So.
Well, this is the city water they're talking about. So the city water should be looked at, and if it's got 0.8 I think it's still legal. If it's got 0.3, it's got to be brought up to the legal limit. If it's too much, then you have to find another source.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Okay. So, any other questions or any other comments?
Okay.
Right. So, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve that letter.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, I'd like the minutes to reflect that was a unanimous vote. Okay? All right. The next one is the Board of Health Emergency Management Responsibilities Update by me. I would prefer to table that until the next meeting when the person who is coordinating this for our Public Health Department or our Board of Health, when she's here, she'll be able to answer any questions that I will not be able to. So, okay? You guys okay with that?
Yep.
Very good. Okay, now I'd like to talk about the discussion and consideration of Crestview Mobile Home Park. The way that this part of the meeting will run is the first thing I want to know is I saw that Mr. Lemire was here, and I understand that you have a legal representation. Is that correct? Okay. The first thing before we make a statement or talk, the first thing I'd like to do is have our staff give the Board of Health as well as the public an update about what we've been doing in the Board of Health Department concerning violations and what they found at the park. Okay. These issues concern health issues, at the Crestview Mobile Home Park. Okay? And that's what we will be emphasizing. Okay. So you'll need to be up there. Perfect. Okay.
So you need to be here.
Yes, if that's okay. And then what I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of I want to go into the back because I want to give you time to talk when we're all done, when we after we presented these things.
So they can sit there. Okay. Oh, good. This is finally happening.
Great. Great presentation.
Just in time.
Sorry for the delay, but this is kind of this is an important part of the presentation.
This is always my fear when I took a presentation at a camera overseas.
I could put it in here and just watch it from this little screen. No, I would turn it around. Can I do that? Well, I would maybe turn it. Maybe.
Since it is a public meeting, you can look at it also. Public clear. Yeah, public.
Practicing on this plane and they were in the front row and they had their computers out and the zip drives in with their cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
In the front row, the trays
looked
down and they're magnetic and they don't rattle and it erased everything on all the zip drives.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a mess.
No.
You think we've got a problem? It's just a trade out, that's the technology.
Yeah, excuse me, yeah. And their 5G, the projector's not an IT, is the last resource. The one with the take on presentation.
Okay.
We were lucky that Baker didn't roll over when we were supposed to get out there.
actually rolled out beforehand. I was warm.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was this morning. I wonder if that was half full. I don't know if that was
Here's where I have a problem before. I know I'm trying to pull this up so I can remember.
Oh, got it. So you can attach it to the thing.
Yeah.
Saw it happen again and again. There were these big tankers, obviously kerosene, of course, diesel, and they would be stuck on the side of the road, and their lives would be stuck. And so, I'm sure that was one of the things that it's like he's probably allowed to go on storage. And so,
sell it up.
Yeah, we'll see if he was clear. I guess I would be surprised.
Margaret, do you have anything that you need to speak of first before, if you'd like to, or you know, and then because you're going to get a projector, correct?
Either that, or yeah, it will be bringing something from IT.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Margaret Jane, Story County Environmental Health. So most of this presentation is supposed to be visual, just a lot of slides of showing the conditions of the mobile home park.
Okay, Carol, I'll just use this one. My intention is to demonstrate that there's a history of problems with the park, a history of complaints, a history of the county seeking voluntary compliance, and then bringing it to the current status. So we received a whole page of complaints that I've logged since we started tracking them in 2010. Okay. And they range from complaints about fire hazards, no water in the trailer, water
quality. From whom? Who are making
I'm sorry. Mainly from tenants.
Okay.
But there was also a complaint from the post, from the Ames post office, saying that there was raw sewage ponded around the mailboxes that they couldn't access. From the utility workers, Alliance, saying that they couldn't access meters because there was ponded sewage there. You know, this is a history that is building up. There's been, there was talk about chlorine levels in the water being too high and causing people to be ill. Water quality issues, the color of it, the quantity of it, and many, many sewage on the ground calls. For notices of violation, aside from the, oh my goodness.
I got that one going.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, Margaret, you said you'll hang with us
here. Okay, I could do that. Because you hooked up to that one.
What's up there?
use in my car.
Okay, so notice the violations. Since we started tracking them, there's been about 9 that have been issued, and a lot of them were in response to those complaints. Okay, so in 2009 we started getting a lot. In 2009 and 2010 we started getting a lot of complaints about the water quality, and all of those were always transferred over to DNR because it was a public water supply system at that time, and DNR would handle those. In 2011 were the floods, and we went out there to take a look at things and see what the conditions were, and the lagoon had overtopped its berms, and not that that's Cressy's fault, but that's one thing that happened. We went out there and looked around, and we were seeing things like, well, even without the flood, these situations should not be occurring for it to be, you know, a park that is a healthy place for people to live in. And then in 2014, I issued 4 notices of violations for sewage, solid waste, fire hazards, and vacant trailers. And Branch pretty much took care of those violations at that time. This was in April 2014. There was illegal burning, and the fencing was broken around the lagoon. I have a couple different emails from Tom Taylor from, I mean, no, these 2 emails are from Dwight Kramer, who's with the fire marshal, and complaining about making access to the place, but then also saying that there are a lot of issues, that it was dangerous out there, but they couldn't really do anything legally until they were asked to come in and do new wiring.
And this was 2014.
That's correct.
Okay.
August. So at one point they asked, is there something that the county environmental health department or zoning departments would be able to do as far as authority goes to fix this situation?
Who's
he was
they?
Concerned about Alliant and, I mean, Dwight Kramer again. They were concerned about the safety for the families there. Again, he's with the fire marshal.
State
fire marshal. Pretzky is also in the Kelly Fire Department, and they have gone up there several times and have expressed concern about getting trucks in and things like that, because lots of times the roads are blocked by water and that. I have observed extension cords going from one trailer to another for power source, again, a hazard. Illegal burning, pretty frequent. And those were oftentimes called in by tenants who live right there and can see and smell the smoke. On another occasion, I was called out because raw sewage was directed to the ditch on Lincoln Way there, so I went out and sampled that. That was in 2015. Again in 2015, another burn pile picture. This is a picture of a supplemental well that was overtopped by water in a frost pit. Not good for drinking water. And then in October of 15, more complaints about the well not being sufficient. DNR asked them to improve their water supply system. The well is not sufficient to give the quantity of water that they need. More burn piles in 2016. Again, I'm just establishing a pattern here.
History.
A history showing that there's continuous violations occurring at this park. And then in January of 2016, NOV 24 was issued for failure to supply water for human consumption. And that is the action that the board took to close it and get them shrunk down into a private water supply or meet the requirements of DNR. And as we all know, it resulted in a downsizing to 13 trailers and a house and a duplex. 12 trailers, a house, and a duplex. In 2016, notice of violation 52 was issued for removal of all RVs because after the park was closed, they moved in a bunch of RVs. So that was issued. Brant went ahead and removed those. And here's another picture. 2017, and this is kind of bringing us right up to today's status. So in April of 2017, complaints were received by the treasurer's office, triggering an investigation by the county. When we were out there investigating, we saw that there were 14 trailers, one house, and one duplex, making it again, a public water supply system, so I had him contact DNR. I had Brant Lemire contact DNR to talk about their status and what way they want to go with that. When we were out there, the lagoon was being filled in. I reported that to DNR, the sewage lagoon. There were 12 notices of violation issued. So most of them were the same, but one of them was for renting out to tenants lots that had power but did not have water. That's one violation. Another violation was for solid waste. Another violation was for removal of vacant trailers for all of those trailers that Brant Lemire had junking orders for. And then the remainder of those was for each and every individual trailer in Crestview's name or Brant Lemire's name that he owned that were vacant and needed to be moved off.
And these weren't just vacant. Was there anything else wrong with them?
We did an investigation, and we saw that inside they were, a lot of them you could access freely so other people could. moldy, messy, icky, a lot of garbage in them, rodent harborage, dangerous places if kids were to go in there and play. I know of at least one child that lives in the mobile home park there. Most people living there are adults. So let's see. So that's what came of that investigation, the 12 notices of violation, and I'll turn it over to Jerry in a minute here. He also had found several violations.
So you have issued 12 notices of violations?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And the deadline for that is the 12th of June, so less than a week away.
Okay.
Grant Lanier's wife did find someone who, as a business, comes in and removes, sort of takes down the trailers and removes them. And so we met him on site, along with the treasurer and legal counsel, and Marty Chitty, and planning and development. We were out there, investigated that, and identified the trailers that could be removed. It had the paperwork in order, and the contract was ready to go, and then apparently Brant was not interested in signing that at that time.
When did you do that?
May 2.
May 2nd?
So about a month ago.
And this is for removal of the abandoned trailers?
Yes.
I want to make sure I'm just clear on this.
Yes. So he made efforts to meet out there with us, but without that contract being signed, technically nothing has been done to abate the violations. He's got 1 week to get the trailers off and the mess cleaned up.
Okay.
And again, we're trying to achieve voluntary compliance, but we're not seeing that.
And it's important for members of the Board of Health, remember we informed or we instructed Margaret to no longer give warnings, but actually to serve notice of violations. Okay? That doesn't look like it.
Yeah,
cheating.
Progress.
If it goes north,
it's a road ditch. It's a road ditch.
Okay. Okay. So, ready?
Jerry Moore, Story County Planning Development. Our department was out there on April 12th and May 2. And we identified 10 separate violations, and it ranged from issues involving extension or expansion of an existing non-conforming mobile home park. This park is in a commercial light industrial district in the county, and currently mobile home parks are not considered permitted uses, so therefore they're non-conforming. There were issues involving conversion of mobile home parks to other uses. There were several unlicensed motor vehicles identified with no tags, some with no plates, uses not permitted in the zoning district, changes requiring submittal of site plans, or change of uses, and then potential impact to stormwater drainage and erosion control. There's a lot of dirt that has been brought in, and unfortunately I don't have the picture to show you, but there was some dirt that was brought in the southwest portion of the park. It also showed up, I think the second time we were there, it was on the east side of the lagoon. It was also stored between some trailers on the west side of the park. So again, our goal, the Planning Development Department's goal, is to obtain voluntary compliance with these notices of violations that we provided to Mr. Lehmer. And we hand-delivered those on May 12th. So a little bit of background, the park was established in the late 1950s. The county adopted zoning ordinances in September of 1958. The property, again, is currently zoned commercial light industrial district, so therefore the use is considered a non-conforming use. So we're dealing with the Story County Land Development Regulations on the violations that we cited. And the intent under Chapter 9102 talks about nonconforming uses are permitted. They can continue as long as they want to until they're removed, but their survival is not something that's encouraged. It also talks about nonconformities not being able to be enlarged, expanded, or extended. So again, I mentioned we had 10 violations. The first violation dealt with the expansion of the mobile homes that were permitted beyond those that were permitted by the Board of Health, beyond the 12. We noted there were different persons living in units beyond the looped area. The way to deal with that, our response would be to have those units be removed from the property.
So you're saying, so many of your issues, sorry to interrupt, but a lot of your issues are commercial issues and things are zoning and planning, except when you talk about how trailers are no longer on the loop that we approve.
Right. Well, there's units that people are living in, some without water and full services, not in compliance with the Board of Health's action to keep it to 12 units. So we view that as an expansion or a change to a nonconforming use, and that's something that's not permitted. So to remedy that, we would ask that all those units be removed except for the 12. There's a possibility that Mr. Limmer could go through a rezoning to change the zoning to residential mobile home park, which is the current established district. But that's something that involves not only a review at the county level involving the Planning and Zoning Commission and then ultimately the Board of Supervisors. This property is also in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, and it's an agreement with the City of Gilbert, City of Ames, Story County is involved, and it was established in 2006. And so the land use that's proposed for this area is highway-oriented commercial. So it's not something that likely would fit in the future planning to change it to a new established residential mobile home park.
Okay.
Second item, there was a mobile home. There was a mobile home unit number 28 that was converted to storage. Again, that's something that's viewed as an expansion or extension of the existing use. It's not something that was considered to be permitted. Option would be to remove that unit. You could go through the rezoning process. It's going to involve Ames Urban Fringe planning. Three, there were mobile home frames in the southwest portion, just outside of the property, really, in the right-of-way, which is the City of Ames right-of-way. There currently are additional units on the mound system of the septic system. Again, that's viewed as being an expansion. If the goal is to provide storage, again, first we would ask that they be removed. Two, possibly rezoned, but again, you're dealing with the Ames Urban Fringe planning. As I mentioned, multiple vehicles were identified without current tags. Several of them didn't have any license plates on them. We would use the definitions in the land development regulations that talk about junk and salvage yards, where it's talking about abandoned, wrecked, scrapped, ruined, dismantled, or inoperable vehicles. It goes on to talk about the fact that you're required to have vehicle registrations under the Iowa Department of Transportation requirements. Logging, there were like almost complete trees brought in to the property, very large trunk systems. They were cut and processed. Our understanding was to actually sell those. Logging is something that's not permitted in a commercial light industrial district, so the remedy for that would be to remove those logs or trees, or to request a rezoning. The heavy industrial district is probably the likely district, but with that, it would also require a tax amendment. So it's not something that's actually specifically identified. So that would be the first thing, a tax amendment, and then a rezoning to heavy industrial district. There were several logs on the property in the southeast portion. There were several logs on pallets that were shrink-wrapped. I think the second time we went out there, those pallets that were shrink-wrapped were relocated to an area that's currently being used for storage in the northwest portion of the property. But again, this is something that might be permitted in the commercial light industrial if it's just sales only. But with that, we would ask that they submit a change of use and then a site development plan. Dumpsters, there's a screening requirement. There were several dumpsters the first time that we were out there, and then I think less the second time we were out there. If the enclosed with fencing or some type of screening, an alternative to screening would be to place the dumpsters inside of a building, and then on garbage day you can bring them out, which that meets our requirements as well. As Margaret mentioned, the sewage lagoon, there were large scraps of concrete material that was brought in from a commercial project that was occurring in Ames. But that material was placed in the northern portion of the existing sewage lagoon system, and then dirt was brought in on that. That's an alteration as well, or an expansion. We were told that the reason for that, or the purpose for that, was going to be that that was going to be for a storage area. So again, a rezoning request. Again, it would involve Ames River Fringe planning requirements. Ames River Fringe amendments, I need to mention that it's something that you have to get compliance or approval with all three entities before you can make any changes to the plan document and to the map. Another item, it appeared that there were used decks being displayed in the southeast portion, just southeast of the park. Retail sales is something that's considered a permitted use, so we would ask that he submit change of use and then a site development plan or something like that. And then, as I mentioned, a lot of fill dirt was brought in the southwest portion. It shows up, also showed up just east of the sewage lagoon the second time we were there. And we have no idea what the impact is to stormwater drainage or erosion control. Something like that, we encourage property owners to submit detailed drawings, hopefully from an engineer, to address what the impact is to the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and the SUDIS erosion control requirements, which are both cited in the Surrey County Land Development Regulations. As I mentioned, we're in the commercial light industrial district area, retail, office, wholesale, warehousing. Those are typical uses. Ames River Fringe, designation is highway-oriented commercial. There's several policies, but again, the goal really for this area is for commercial-type uses, and I won't go through all those policies, but Mr. Lemar has three options. One is to comply completely with those 10 notices of violations. He can appeal the notices to the Board of Adjustment, or he can actually submit a compliance schedule for the planning development director to review. I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Okay. Can you show, do you have your pictures yet?
You have to bring it over here.
Yeah, I do.
Do you want me to show?
I'll show you mine.
So the way that last year's presentation gives us a good idea of basically zoning issues, but some health issues too, which is our survey. Right.
Okay. is to kind of give you an idea of what we've been working with, is from a lot of the Board of Health presentations and other update presentations that I've given to the department and that, I just kind of pulled down some slides to show you chronologically what's been going on out there. So that was the flood pictures, and as I mentioned, we did see quite a few things that weren't acceptable as far as a healthy environment to be living in. These are the notice of violation. All of that was wood was stacked up on the mound there. Mark, you know that you're not supposed to be putting heavy items on a mound that ruins the septic system. And then vacant trailers and solid waste. That middle picture shows the sewage ponded around the mailboxes The fence, the right-hand one, the fencing down around the lagoon, and the left-hand one is a lot of solid waste and burning going on. These were emails from Dwight Kramer with the state fire marshal expressing concern about the living conditions there. This is just kind of pictures of things, conditions. This is more conditions. That middle picture shows the extension cord from one trailer to another for power. This is burn pile and solid waste. This was the sewage going directly to the Lincoln Way Road ditch. The bottle there was for collecting for BOD sampling. I think this is a repeat picture, sorry. This is the well that Janet Gatineau, DNR, she sent me this picture saying that this looked like a supplemental well. You can see that it's down in the pit, and the pit is filling up with water. That water ends up down in your well. That's why it's important to always maintain that chlorine level, and that's what we were always trying to achieve back a year ago. Water supply, again, well stuff. This is another illegal burning incident. The other burn piles were on the northeast side. This now is the new burn pile way off by the lagoon there on the west side. This is more burning pictures and solid waste. This is not acceptable, healthy living conditions for people. And in 48, we're issued a failure to supply water for human consumption, which caused the closing, removal of these new vehicles that were brought in. And then in April of 2017, the complaint to the treasurer's office. We confirmed that there were too many water connections to be called a private water supply. This is pictures of the lagoon being filled in.
And this is recent.
This is recent. This is April and May, these pictures are.
Okay, so now we're up to where we are now.
Yes, I'm sorry, yes. And this information was passed on to DNR, which they've since handled. And this is the list of notices of violations that I've already mentioned. These were individual pictures of trailers that were vacant and needed to be removed. Some of the pictures show what we found inside. Just a lot of debris. Trailers in the roadway making passage difficult, in the roadway.
So like a fire truck could not get in?
Well, they could get in around from the other way.
Okay.
Yes. More abandoned trailers with stuff left behind. Sometimes one might think or like to believe that there's people living in these vacant trailers. It's hard to tell on some of these. More vacant trailers. More vacant trailers.
And these were the same trailers that they had a contractor come in to scrap them.
To look at, yes. We went out there and Jerry marked them to identify the ones that definitely had the junking certificates.
Got it.
We went out there and identified the ones that we needed to mark. And, yeah.
How many are there now that can be removed?
We marked seven. There are probably eight or nine more in Crestview's name that could be done if the taxes were paid on that. So we could be, 15 trailers out of there that we can identify.
Thank you.
What's that pile of dirt? That was put there recently. There's a few of those throughout. I think, I can't speak to that, but that's
Recent, yeah. Okay. So am I fair to state that you are trying to show a history of what's been going on in the place where we're at right now?
Yes.
Okay.
And really not a lot of activity to abate the violations that I can see. With 1 week to go, he's going to be hard-pressed to get all that work done, in my opinion.
Did Mr. Lemire give you any timeline for this or any plans on how he was going to do this?
Well, I thought he was going to sign the contract, but he had not as of today, is my understanding.
Okay.
There's been a lot of agencies involved with trying to get him to comply. State Fire Marshal, Kelly Fire Department, DNR, DOT, City of Maine, and then multitude of county offices and departments.
Plus the utility companies, right? Utility?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all I have. Jared, okay. Do you want to?
In your board as our
capacity.
Yeah, in your capacity. Thank you very much. Do you feel that things have improved since you started this? And as far as I can tell, it was 2010?
It kind of fluctuates, but for the most part, it's gone downhill. The conditions are worse than they were before. And I will say that there are other trailer parks in our county that I do not have the same level of activity out there. It does require a lot of staff time to be going out there and addressing these issues, and with very little follow-up.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Did you want to see photos?
Oh, sure. With that.
Okay.
We got to work in.
First time we were out, the second time that we were out there.
the filling that went on in the lagoon underneath the dirt are big pieces of concrete. Again, I think it came from the quick trip. Used decks appear to be slated for sale in the southeast part. Builder, this is in the slide to the left, is the biggest pile. It's in the southwest corner of the park. And then the second time that we were out, we saw quite a bit of dirt east of the building. And then this was between a couple of the units.
So those units occupied?
No. In here or seen?
Thank you. Not
here.
Okay.
That's basically it.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. I do know that Mr. Lumiere's legal counsel does have a time limitation. So is there anything else that you wish to present right now? I think most of the planning and development issues that are brought up gives us an idea of the cooperation. Okay. Good. So, Mr. Lumiere, welcome back. You heard and you saw the pictures, and I know you've been, a lot of people have been out there lately. So do you have any statement that you wish to make or anything that you wish to say to us right now?
Bill Childress. Not at this time. Yeah.
Bill Childress speaking.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm an attorney at the Nubro Law Firm in Ames. A number of you know me. Brandon and I have been talking on and off since probably 2010. We talk about why does anybody live at Crespi? You know, after looking at pictures, you're saying to yourself, well, why would anybody live there? People live there because there are limited options. So the first thing I want everyone to keep in mind as we go through this process is that we're going to be affecting vulnerable people. The folks that live at Crestview do not have the opportunity to pick up and move into an $1,800 a month apartment at Greyhawk. That's just not going to happen.
But you do know that our requirement to make sure that people are living in someplace safe.
I do understand that.
Okay.
I do understand. Things evolve and things change. And Brandt has entered into a contract with me for liquidation. The contract that we have for liquidation is dependent upon us not fighting.
Now, many
of the issues that Brandt's being asked to correct are in some ways hyper-technical. We could have quite a large argument and quite a fight, and we could have even courts decide who's right or who's wrong, or we can work together for liquidation. Liquidation is going to be incredibly expensive for Brandt. Liquidation means that we're going to claim the property. We're going to junk the trailers. People that own trailers, we're going to have to work with to determine how they can find somewhere else to locate. But in approximately 9 months or a year, we'll have an auction and the property to be sold to the highest bidder. All of that is dependent upon us working together and not spending the money fighting, but spending the money towards a mutual goal of assisting the people that live there and having a piece of property that will be purchased by someone for new development. My requirement is that I have someone that is the point of contact that I can work with. I can't work with five or six agencies. I need someone in charge to work with me building a reasonable and appropriate schedule for liquidation. Your remedy for us not following a reasonable and appropriate schedule for liquidation is that while we're asking that you hold all violations and infractions in abeyance, your remedy is if we do not follow a reasonable and appropriate schedule, then you can prosecute all of the violations. So, to summarize, Brandt has entered into an agreement with me for liquidation. I will oversee the liquidation of Crestview and auction of the property. The timetable would be established between a person that's appointed by the county as my point of contact and Brandt and myself. We will work together to have a reasonable and appropriate schedule of liquidation. If Brandt does not adhere to that schedule, then I'm out. I withdraw, and you have the opportunity to reinstate all of your violations. So I think that we have the ability to get this done. It just requires that we work together instead of starting a major fight.
Okay. So what you're asking us is, having a point of contact, I understand that issue, but what you're specifically asking for the Board of Health is that we delay going through with our notice of violations and issuing citations.
That is correct.
Okay.
Hold them in abeyance, not dismiss, hold them
right.
in abeyance.
Yep. And then you will have, and you are saying that your plan is to have the property ready to be sold in 9 months to a year.
That is correct.
Okay. So
and there is a contract. There is a contract that it will be auctioned.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that we know what you're asking. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So good.
Okay.
Does that all make sense? Okay. So. Is there anything else you need to tell us right now, or you wish to? Because we have to discuss this. Because as you know that the Board of Health, we have to kind of do all this stuff above board and stuff. So okay. So what's your thoughts on this? I've got some thoughts, but I wonder what your thoughts are.
I don't know. It's been going on for so long that I know we're all been. Are getting tired of it since 2010. It's 7 years of this. I really don't know. So on this liquidation, how will the taxes be taken care of for the trailers with the auditor?
I'll have to work with the auditor on that. The interesting question is whether or not all of the taxes that are being claimed due are actually due. We understand that there's taxes due for certain homes that are in the name of Crestview. I believe that's, is that $1,800, $1,900?
Yeah.
Something in that range. No problem. We'll pay those. Then we'll have to work together to determine whether or not Crestview actually has liability for some of the others that are being claimed that Crestview owes taxes on. But the point is, this is an incredibly expensive process. I don't know if anybody's thought about how much money Brandt's going to have to spend to close this place down. Just the
Do you have a dollar figure when you know, could you be a little more specific mm-hmm. when you say an incredible amount? Maybe your incredible amount and my incredible amount is a little different.
Certainly. Let's look at the mobile homes. Just the mobile homes alone could be, depending on what contract we enter into, could be as high as $40,000 to $50,000. Just getting rid of the mobile homes. I'm not going to come cheap. So there's going to be certain costs that are going to be very difficult for Brandt to handle.
Any thoughts?
Been here a year now.
got sworn in today, a year ago today, and been working on this in Paul's absence, and I have a lot of what Paul was working on now got left to me, and I've had a chance to read it, and I had a chance to deal with this. Now I'm Brand outside of this capacity, and I've had Brand in my office on a number of occasions, conversations and stuff, and we've just been forthcoming with one another, but I get left a year later having trust issues. And I know you laid out a clear path to walk, but it is hard, Bill. I mean, on a personal basis, not sitting here as a supervisor, advisor, not sitting here as a Board of Health member, that on something so simple, I watched a transaction in the park here last month, and I think I would use this as my anecdotal seminal moment. Sitting there watching Rhonda Sykes work in behalf on determining which of the trailers could be demolished, because we had a gentleman from Southern Iowa come up, and just to be clear, for clarity, Brand told Rhonda, if you give me the dollar amount, the $1,800 to $1,900, if you can find out what that dollar value is, I'll pay you. In the space of 10 minutes, he said, no, I don't want to do that. Talk to you next week. So it's a trust thing with me. And I like to say that, you know, your word means a great deal. And I think that it does. And I like the commitment that you're giving for the fact that you're saying you would move to an ultimate closure, sale, whatever you're proposing here. But I would like to think that my expectation is that there are going to be terms and conditions, not just saying we're giving you 9 months unfettered, 12 months unfettered, that you would be willing to commit to doing some things. Because what I have seen in a year's time is the fact that things have been promised and not acted upon. And that's the frustration you see by the members of this board and by the responsive agencies in the county and not alone the public. And we're not here on a contact basis, and I'm not here to give a speech, but I'm just telling you what I saw. We didn't come into the park only because we are contacted by a resident or residents in the park that there's an issue that exists. And so we have to act upon what we see, because we can't unsee some things. We have a sworn duty to uphold that which is. We're only doing that. But I would have to say the conversations as to who we would designate would probably not necessarily lie with this board.
We could always talk about that.
Okay. Speaking to the trust issue, I agree. I understand exactly what you're saying. I know exactly where you're coming from. And that's part of what I'm talking about, saying that things change. Brandt does his business the old-fashioned way.
That is.
Completely independent.
Okay.
But this is something that's not been offered to you previously. Remember, we've got a couple of remedies here. The first is, if we build a reasonable schedule together and it's not adhered to, I'm out. See, what Brandt and I talked about is that this is my reputation included in this process. So if we don't adhere to that schedule, I'm out too.
So we're back to where we are right now. And we're back to where we're at.
Well, but that's not exactly right. If we don't adhere to the schedule, you still have your citations and infractions held in abeyance. But the thing that's different is that one of the schedules we're going to work on immediately is not having any tenants remaining in the park. That means there's no stream of income. You see, it's a whole different situation than you've had in the past. With no stream of income, the only incentive left for Brand is to get the property disposed of or the use changed. So there's a number of things that you've not been offered before.
I don't see that we have an incentive for him to do anything in that period of time.
So what you're saying is, and please tell me if I didn't interpret that statement appropriately, but what you're saying is we should go ahead with the citations.
I do.
Ethan, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
If we go through with the notice of violations and issue the citations, what is the time span to when the citations are actually carried out?
The court probably set hearings like 4 or 5 weeks out from when citations are filed. So those are filed next Tuesday, about a month later there'd be hearing dates. Unless Mr. Talbot or others move for continuance, or we move for continuance.
Okay. And then if we were to hold off on going at those notice of violations and just kept the citations kind of off to the side, then how fast could we make those happen again?
Well, the code requires us to do voluntary compliance with the 30-day notice of violation.
Out 30 days?
With the 30 days, that's already been satisfied. So, Bill's correct, we could file citations at any point now after June 12th and hold them to account. I think my recommendation, my recommendation advice would be if the board wants to act in good faith with Mr. Talbot, not with Mr. Lemire, with Mr. Talbot, and let's have a clear milestone set that eviction notices will be served no later than Friday, June 9th. And then that would get things.
How long would an eviction
concrete milestone moving forward?
How long would an eviction notice take before it was? What's the course of time that an eviction notice would take from service till?
I'd have to read through 562B again, or the post code dealing with the mobile home tenancies.
The general rule is if one owns the mobile home, 60 days.
How long?
60 days. But I'm telling you, that's not long enough for an older mobile home. Folks need a little more time than that. We'll serve the eviction notice based on a schedule we agreed to, but we need to be pretty darn sensitive because it's not easy to relocate an older mobile home.
Some of these probably won't be DOT-approved to travel, frankly.
That's fine. We can go through that.
It's case specific, but I know what you're saying there.
I have some real trust issues too, and I'm sorry if this is going to cost a lot of money. But if Mr. Lemire had followed the instructions of Margaret James in 2010, we would not be here today. Okay. And that's an important issue to understand. That it's not like we just started working on this a month ago. And I'm kind of a little bit upset with the statement about how our actions are going to be affecting vulnerable people. To prey on people who have no other choice is a tragedy. And that is, so I don't want this to be portrayed as big government against people who have no other options. We have a landlord who has been taking advantage of people. I'm sorry, that's the way that I look at it. Now, the notice of, and I actually intrigued by the idea of holding off on the citations, but I'm bothered by it because if we don't have those over his head, I'm not sure he's going to do anything. Okay? And, you know, Brad, he's got a good team right now. You know? But I'm just really, I have real questions about it. And if we do hold off on the citations, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here in a year talking about this. Okay? I don't want to be here 9 months talking about this. I think 9 months to a year is too long of a time considering how much we've been working on this. Okay? I don't think that's a reasonable schedule. That's my thoughts.
I want to address people first. I was not indicating that the government's doing anything.
I know, but you mentioned
I don't want a misunderstanding on that at all.
Right.
I'm merely saying that this is about working together.
Right.
Yeah, and this is about not about minimizing the impact on those people that are vulnerable.
And yes, thank you very much. I can appreciate that. But you also ought to understand that when we've been in meetings before, that has what's been portrayed to us, that we're throwing poor people out on the street.
We did offer them some help and some money.
And, yep, we did.
We had some money available for people.
Yeah. So, you know, so that statement we need.
Then Doctor, to address the time period. I need a point of contact. I need one person to work with. You know, we can't work with everybody. And we'll work through the schedule. My estimate is 9 months to a year. Maybe when we get working on that, maybe it can go faster. But I need a person to work with to build that schedule. I can't present a schedule because I don't know all of the expectations. But I'm guessing 9 months to a year.
But you have the DNR to work with, too.
Right.
You have the DNR and the state to deal with as well. So,
Ethan, would this be something that you would take on to be the front person?
I'd be happy.
Okay. All right. Okay, so,
did I see somebody just go, not me?
Well, no, here.
And then I think we're doing this.
This is an advising consent board. And ultimately, it will move up. You know, I think that you're kind of pushing it, you know, without saying as much towards the board making direction on this. And I would turn to Ethan at that point, and as a wise administrator in times past and today, would turn to my attorney and say, what do you think? What should we be doing here? So I think that Dr. Passion just did that. And once again, my colleague over there is aching to say something.
I just... Laura Solson, this actually works right here, but thank you, Bill. Laura Solson, one of the supervisors, and I just think that one of the things that needs to happen is that all three Board of Supervisors need to be, A, made aware of this. You've got the Board of Health, which I understand has enforcement authority over the actual citations, is my understanding, although I don't understand how if P&D is citing, Planning and Development is citing, if that's not actually to the Board of Supervisors. We oversee that. And then you've got the situation about where Mark pointed out about the money, we came up with money. Well, actually, it was the Board of Supervisors. We all worked together on that. But we have to approve that. So you're asking for a point of contact today when you've got some differing entities that even need to discuss whether or who that point of contact would be. If that's what the Board of Health decides, and then you may have some other opinions based upon the funding, upon the funders, about when they'd like to see those citations actually filed and stuff. So I just thank you for letting me speak at your meeting, but I'd just like to point out the logistics just internally, right, let alone getting other people involved.
And I think that's important to understand, but on our plate right now is whether we go ahead with the citations from the notice of violations. Yes.
If I may, her name is County Treasurer. Back in February, Grant sold a trailer to one of the tenants and has yet to convey a title. There's a public notice of that. And so I also have trust issues on this going through. The lady is pregnant, wants to move it out, and he has yet to give her the title. He's cut her utility, he's cut her water, he's towed her car, that she had a bill of sale in her car, waiting for the other party to get a duplicate title. The DOT investigator has followed through with all of that. So my trust issues are even higher than those.
Okay, so I think what Laura Solson wants to mention is point of contact is really up to the Board of Supervisors, right? And also any type of timeline is probably up to the Board of Supervisors.
It will be negotiated through the Board.
So what we have to do on our standpoint is decide whether the notice of violations go forward, okay? And that will be our decision.
I would just like, if we could at that point, to get Ethan to speak again as far as on the 30 days will run on the notice of violations moving to the citation phase on June 13th.
Sure.
An affirmative vote to leave that progress going forward doesn't mean means what? I mean, does it mean that you, it doesn't really happen until you make the application and schedule?
Until we file a conflict with the clerk of court and they set a court date for the hearing on the filing.
And you could, if something comes up with the Board of Supervisors, you could rescind those and just stop it? Or
those could be just either dismissed or continued.
And you could ask for a continuation also.
That's correct. Now, they could resist the continuance, but I don't think they would.
Right. Okay. Would that require a meeting from the Board of Health to do?
No.
Who would make that decision?
The market gains of the enforcement officer would make the decision.
Okay.
Could you give her the direction to have her withhold issue a citation until the next Board of Health meeting?
30 days from now. 60 days. Okay. So, what's your thoughts? Any motion?
Well, I'd like else? To hear what I'm having hearing that crosstalk. What do you think, Bill?
If the documents are filed with courts, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think each one will carry significant court costs.
We understand that.
$85 in court costs.
Yeah, and so we got to stack about this big, so we're going to stack up some money there. Anyway, my summary is, this is something different than that's been offered previously. This is an offer that has multiple enforcement mechanisms. So I think we're going to give it a chance.
Well, I think it's just sort of a conversation where we have the ability to leave a mechanism in place, but leave it in a latent state.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. The time of notice has passed. Ethan can file those infraction notices anytime.
So what you're talking about is that we hold off on going to citations and keep them right now at notice of violations because we could file the citations at any time.
I think clearly you heard Ethan walk you into the situation that the board could give direction where to let the process run, that on June 13th we wake up to the fact that any time we can start the notice or the citation phase. That's through Margaret.
That's correct.
And that would be the only direction that I would leave, but that I would ask that we hold that back. I guess I would think that here we go forward on the supervisors. If we're going to do this, I would think that if we're talking about a negotiated settlement to closure to resolution, that we still retain the ability, it's not even an emotion yet, but it's just my thought at this point, and I can be talking in or out of it, but we still retain the ability to move to citation by saying doing that, yet...
I don't know if I'm giving you, because I'm
kind of conflicted on where I'm at here, but it's just like it gives us the opportunity to move it into another realm because I think you're going to set up a mechanism to do a negotiation as was proposed. Not really comfortable on the timeline. I don't think it's going to take 9 to 12 months. I think this can happen in 17, but that's just my opinion. Go ahead. Hearing all that.
Yeah.
How soon are we going to give the eviction notices? Is that going to happen right away, or is that...
You're going to, and you being somebody in the county government, I would suspect the chair of the Board of Supervisors making it aware of it. And the supervisors probably pick the person, but you're going to give me a point of contact. We're going to work together to establish a schedule. We don't want to be giving notices that are unreasonable to the tenants. We don't want to be giving notices that are unreasonable to the county. We need a point of contact to build the schedule with.
But we still have ongoing these health issues of not healthy conditions to live in.
Correct.
We have bad water, we have sewage coming up, we have a lagoon problem. So we still, during this time, these people are living in unhealthy conditions. And that's what bothers me, is they've been living this for a long time, and it needs to stop somewhere. I just don't know what the answer is other than fixing the problems. Just like this Renee gave us, here's a lady that I don't know why Brent won't give her her title. Here she is, I guess, pregnant and can't get her title to her home. I mean, that's a bad deal.
Well, I'd only point out that that's probably an issue that could be litigated. I don't want to litigate all the details today.
Right? Oh, I understand. Yeah.
And there are some real flaws with what you all are stating. Some of those photographs you saw today aren't even on the Crestview property. So I don't want to litigate these things. I want to either agree to work together or not. That's our only purpose. If we work together, we can liquidate.
I'm in favor of going ahead with the citations right now.
Right now, they can be delayed if he
right.
makes progress.
Yep. Yep.
But they're there. And
yep. That's right. We can put a continuation on that. It's a cost.
Then I'm out. That's my contract. If the money's being spent fighting citations, I'm not working on this project.
What can you give us? Let's ask this. What could you give us in 2 months at the next Board of Health meeting that would tell us that this is progressing appropriately? What could you give us? Because that's what we're going to need. If you want us to keep these citations from going forward, we're not going to sit here for 6 to 9 months until you come, no matter what schedule you have. What will you be able to give us in 2 months that will show us that this is making appropriate progress?
The point of contact, and Brant and I will develop a schedule that works for everyone. So I can't tell you what those immediate resolutions will be, because the point of contact will have priorities. So we have to work through those priorities, and we have to work through the ability to finance those priorities, and then the logistics of completing the priority. I can only give you a schedule when we agree on a schedule. My projection is that auction of the real estate will not occur until 9 to 12 months from now. It's going to take a while to get this project done.
Can I make a suggestion? I think a real practical step that they could show the Board of Health in the next meeting would be that the 15 trailers already references are gone. That's $1,800 in back taxes, and that's the wrecking fee on 15 trailers. That's progress. That's a real concrete step that doesn't affect the lives of tenants, that respects those nuances and those sensitivities. But it's a real concrete step.
Okay.
And what about turning her electric off so this poor lady can have some electric and some water and give her the title so she can do it what she wants with her own mobile home? I mean, he's been issued a citation, but he hasn't even gotten her a title.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But unfortunately, we have to keep in mind that what our goal is to make sure that this is a healthy living environment, and that's what our role is. Many of the things that were mentioned in this meeting are to give us a history and kind of an environment of what's been going on so we can make an appropriate decision about where to go from this. Ethan, that sounds like a very reasonable thing that you stated, that at the next Board of Health meeting, the 12, what?
Seven and then eight.
Okay, so those 15 trailers are taken care of.
Sure.
That's what we would like to see instead of going forward with the citations. Yes.
Laura Olson, Story County Supervisor again. I just had an opportunity earlier today to reemphasize that I think that the emphasis is on the benefit, I think at least mine, benefit of the residents. And since we have health issues here, we have access issues here for someone who is in going to be an increasingly kind of serious situation, you know, hopefully a good resolution on that baby. Okay. I would just like to speak up again that anything that you look at in delaying the process, what do the residents get out of it? I mean, Ethan's suggestion is nice as far as showing that there's a moving of vacant trailers. We've still got people living there. So I would like to know how that resolution, that solution, and going 2 months more out helps achieve getting some kind of immediate resolution for the residents here of a safer environment.
We're talking about two different things. One of the things is, first of all, removing those trailers will help with the health issue.
Okay.
And that is our purvey. The other thing that the Board of Supervisors can always talk about is extending the application for the assistance to move. In the past, we've given, I forgot how much?
$1,000.
But it was only if they applied for it, and that application has been closed. The Board of Supervisors could always reopen that. Okay.
And we are currently working with Deb Shilruff and Carla Webb to putting together a package to reflect that. Last year you were looking at just bringing to code. This year you're looking at bringing park to closure.
Okay.
Carla, do you have anything to add to that? I hate to usurp your power, but...
Really, just to summarize, I would need to go back to the Board of Supervisors to request that they make available the relocation assistance. As you mentioned, that has been closed out in February, other than those folks that we have a current paid application. And that really stands at probably about three individuals right now that we can't get a hold of. We don't know if they're still at the park. So, Board of Supervisors will need to reopen up that assistance and then determine the dollar.
Ethan had recommended that because one of the things that our discussion was that what could we see from this Board of Health, and he had recommended that the thing that we should see is removal of those 12 trailers. Okay, and so I actually sounds to me like a nice compromise. So I would like to propose and move that the notice of violations be put on hold at this time, not thrown out, and that whatever the legal terminology is, and that this Board of Health will need to see those 15 trailers taken care of by our next Board of Health meeting, otherwise the notice of violations go through. That is what I move.
So what about any of the other violations as far as keeping it the health, as far as the water and sewage?
Well, there will be no trailers left.
Right. That's the whole point. We're looking towards closure. Okay? And even though, because closure will, unfortunately, if he doesn't close it, then those violations will be put in, and then he's got to start paying unless he corrects them. So in those 2 months, it will show us a good progress from a health standpoint. Plus, we would expect at that 2 month mark that you will also have presentation for the timeline that is worked out between whoever is going to be working with Crestview, which is not our purvey. I mean, we don't say who does that, right?
But if 15 trailers are gone, there's no trailer park, right?
No, these are 12 abandoned.
Yeah.
There's 15 abandoned.
So he still has the, as I understand it, he still has, is it 14 trailers hooked up to water, which is still underneath the DNR now?
My count's 11 mobile homes and 2 structures.
Yep, that's today's.
That's what's hooked up right now.
that these are abandoned trailers that we're talking about.
Yeah, 15 or 15.
You had said earlier on an eviction, services eviction, June 9th. Is that correct? My recollection, right? Something like that.
My comments about eviction notice is we can't work together. So we need input from the tenants. We need input from the county when the county's ready to handle the situation. And then I can simply drop the notices and send them out.
Clearly, we're handling it as we speak. So, I guess, you know, this would be on a dual track because, once again, we are finding ourselves in a situation to make adoption a resolution where we are prepared to do something and look to see it to fruition. I'm looking for a little commitment other than the fact that, hey, we would like a nebulous 9 to 12 months. And I know you're looking for a contact. This is not the board that will give you that.
I understand that. And I can serve notice today.
I'm just asking what you're prepared to do. I mean, you say you gave me a 60-day window. And once again, to me, I sit here on June 6th, so then you can say that I think by December 31st, this could be a done deal. That would be what my suspicion, my belief, my ask would be.
Overly optimistic.
Fine. Yeah.
You know, but again, the schedule is above and beyond. I think that, again, the motion that is now
out here.
What I'm really concerned about on the eviction notice is that it's not easy to move a mobile home to a new location. You have to find some place that will take the unit. And that's something we have to work with the tenants on.
How are you going to find that? How are you going to get that?
I'm not going to.
Who is?
The tenant's going to have to.
You'll find them, just abandon them. They'll just get up.
I think these structures don't rise to the level that they're going anywhere.
I think that some will want to move.
And there are probably, that is true, and I give you that. But I think that, to me, that is almost, that's tangible to, I believe, what we're dealing with here. It's just like the expectation that we go from date certain compliance to issues to be addressed seem to be that we're the one that keeps, you know, crossing out the line and giving it. I would like to think that, you know, in 60 days, certainly if we were to adopt, there'd be 15 less trailers. That's wonderful. But in the interim, you know, the eviction is a component. The timeline is a component. The negotiation phase, certainly it will be probably more aggressive than you might be wishing, but it's one of those things that I believe that you offered it. Now we, I guess, we start the conversation on where we get to on resolution there.
Right, and I think what I'm looking for is a measure of good faith.
Okay. Well, I'm looking for it to happen. I mean, clearly, it hasn't. Just in my time, though, just in my time here, not a lot has happened until just this past month.
Okay. So, the question is, what day are we serving eviction notices?
I would say that's on you. That's not us.
Let me intervene here a little bit. I Mr. Talbot's got a really good point. What he basically says is he has to kind of figure this stuff out. He's kind of been brought into it, and his stipulation is that the notice of violations are not made into citations. Am I correct?
Right.
And what he's asking for us is a point person that he can work one-on-one to get us a schedule. Correct.
Right.
And what I want is some type of good faith action that this is going on. I agree with you. I do not want the nebulous 9 to 12 months. I want something that says that this is going in the correct direction. And so that's why I think that Ethan's idea is a very good one. So do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Maybe your next Board of Health meeting is 60 days, and the timeline is not acceptable to the Board of Health. You can move forward to the citation.
Right. Exactly.
I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else. Say that again, please.
So if the timeline is not acceptable to the Board of Health, you can move forward with the citation in 60 days. It's just, as Bill says, it's held in abeyance for, things are kind of shelved for 60 days waiting on efforts to be made.
a good faith effort. I really think we need something definite. Definitely that this is going in the direction, and it is a health issue. Removing those abandoned trailers will be helping with that.
So we have something.
Will it cure anything? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Except to move in the winter.
Right, no. You know, the other option is that we have is letting the citations go and then and going through with that, and then that's basically going to be, then it goes to trial and things aren't, and Mr. Calvert is not no longer on the team.
We talked earlier about it. You had a contract with somebody to remove these trailers. Do you have somebody willing to come get these and take them out yet or not?
Brad and I have looked at three different proposals. One of the things we have to do is lock in some rates with some landfills, and we have to elect from those proposals to see who's both qualified to handle the task and that we'll get it done in a timely fashion.
Yeah, what's timely?
Correct. We need to have it done in a timely fashion. Right. So we need to lock in a contract.
So I think we need that this part of this should have this contract.
Yeah. Well, that's what that's so a
McMillan Demolition had a contract for Brandt to sign with a rate to dispose of the trailers, and he could get rid of 9 trailers in one day.
And so we're talking about removal of the 15 trailers? That's what my proposal is saying, is that by the time we come back in 60 days, that the trailers are removed.
You can have them all done within 9 to 1 day.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's and that is a timeline that we will insist upon, and then we will review the rest of the timeline. And we'll always keep those citations on the back burner that we can go through at any time.
So, Bill, I'm going to turn to you at that point. Good point. So, at 60 days, we're back here for our next meeting, and those trailers aren't gone. You quit?
Yes.
Because the citations will go
out. I understand. We have to be sure that there's some conditions precedent. The fact that you can knock down a trailer and put it in a dumpster in an hour or two, it doesn't mean it happens that way. It's like painting. If you think about it, you got to prep the surface first. So we have to have the ability to have our junking certificates.
We have an office that's standing ready as we speak to help you with that process.
Yep, I get it. I get all of that. I agree with the principal. Your point of contact and I will get the exact number put together. The exact number is probably 12. I think that's what we're able to handle in this
15.
Hey, I think it's
15?
15. The exact number is 15. I don't think that's going to be a problem. But I understand.
But this is done on a contractor basis. It's not one of those things we haul out back and burn and do it ourselves, okay?
Yeah, that's why I say we have to make
it. We do this in a legal manner. The destruction of these trailers will not be permitted in a non, you know, not on site and not by somebody that's not capable of doing this.
That's exactly what I reviewed a few minutes ago. We have to find a qualified contract.
We have that, yeah. So we're going to
do that. I don't want to
litigate issues, but that contract was not a contract. I would never let any client enter into it.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. But that's why you've got 60 days.
Correct. And I don't think that's going to be a problem. Remember, there are some conditions precedent to getting rid of these things. So if we get rid of 11 or 14 or 17, it's going to be what's dictated by the conditions precedent. But we will have the schedule, and if you're not satisfied with the schedule, then you levy the punishment, which is all of the citations.
Well, 15 for sure, and if they want to get rid of 18 or 20, that's fine.
And then 15. Right, and so 15, and so again, I would like to restate my movement that we hold off on the notice of violations at this time, and that with the stipulation that by the next Board of Health meeting, that the 15 abandoned trailers have been removed.
Or
or at least the 15 abandoned trailers have been removed, and that a timeline for closure of the park is presented to this Board of Health, and that we approve that.
We have negotiated.
Right. Yep.
This we will
yep.
take up
yep.
as a board.
Okay. That is
the violations will be brought in.
And then the violations will be brought in. Right now, the violations are put on hold. The notice of violations are out there, or the citations are put on hold. The notice of violations are out there.
So I'm looking at my attorney right now, shaking his head yes. As a motion, did you hear anything that gives you pause?
That's not acceptable.
Laura, yes.
I have a question. What if, after the Board of Supervisors, because this is part of your agreement, what if we select a point person, but we, the Board of Supervisors, don't agree to the schedule that comes back or the conditions that come back? Because it scared me when all of a sudden you said that I'm up, period. I mean, that was just like, bam, Bill. And so what happens if, as we move down here, and we don't agree on something as the Board of Supervisors because it passes to us.
And it happens.
You, right.
What happens then?
You always supersede what we say. We are a board advising.
Okay.
So you supersede us.
Okay,
so you can always say, you guys are not doing this appropriately, and we're taking over.
Well, we're supposed to do with what the county's goals are. So what you might find wise and what we might find wise are different. But that's a discussion for another day. Thank you very much for that opportunity.
So, Ethan, you're going to be the point person then? Is that
okay?
Then the will, that designation will come from the LAPD or the attorney's office or in conjunction both.
So I'll second Dr. Passion's motion.
Yep, that's it. Okay, so we have movement and second. Is there any further discussion?
No.
Okay. Okay, so I'd like to call this for a vote. All those, and I'd like a roll call vote. Mr. G?
Aye.
Mr. Sack?
Aye.
Mr. Passion?
Aye.
Mr. Quigley?
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimously. Okay?
All right.
I'd like to give this opportunity at this time. Anything else on our agenda?
Well, we have a comment. I mean, if we have any staff.
Yep.
I should
open this up that if anyone would like to discuss this issue further.
Sorry.
Yes.
As I mentioned, when I called Margaret, I have 4 o'clock appointment.
I know.
Unless you have anything else.
No. Thank you very much. I understand your position. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Any further comments from staff? Any board comments? Nope. Okay. Any board comments?
Are we going to set up a meeting or give notice somehow if they need some relocation money?
The conversation will now be starting as I leave here.
Okay. And then the other thing I would like to make a statement that I would hope the Board of Supervisors extends the financial incentive and help for people that need to leave.
In motion.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else? We're in adjournment.
Thank you.